Let's go to the phone line and join Chad Frizzell of CDX Energy Services. CDX Energy Services. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Jason.
CDX, that's not for Chad Extreme, is it?
No, maybe it should be, though. That's a really good suggestion.
First time that's been brought up, I bet, huh?
That's the first time.
Well, I was a product of the WWF, WWE, WCW Monday Night Wars. So anything with an X is almost extreme, you know, the Mountain Dew guys. So anyway, what is CDX Energy Services? What do you guys do?
So we are a full-line chemical company. We have our own chemical mix, and then we do blend other chemicals as well. And we have chemicals for, you know, production, midstream, saltwater disposal. We even do some wastewater treatment stuff. We do some agricultural water treatment, house well treatment. And then we also now have a fertilizer line as well for agriculture.
You're kidding me. Talk to me about the fertilizer line a little bit. I know this is the crude life, but you know what? The crude life is, you know, from the truckers to the ag people to the, you know, oil and gas worker. You show me an industry that doesn't use fossil fuels and oil and gas, and I'll show you Brooklyn Bridge for sale. So
exactly.
I just made that. That was terrible. But either way, let's get back to the actual question here. This is why I got to get back to the old school journalism. Just ask questions that are short and to the point instead of trying to, you know, be colloquial and folksy and et cetera. So.
No, it's one of those things, Jason, where we, you know, obviously those of us that are tied to the oil and gas market are, you know, see the ups and downs and stuff. And so we started looking for how can we play in different arenas per se. And we have this fertilizer line that is showing really good promising results. And we've had some good field tests with it, and it's beginning to get out and about more and more. It works really well for citrus growers or pecan orchards. I mean, and then you can also use it in a row crop, you know, application, and it's really changing the market. It's water soluble. It helps with, it takes basically the nutrients that are in the soil already and then helps them and releases them. And so the plants can gather them. Most farmers use a whole bunch of nitrogen, and this helps them cut down on their nitrogen use. You could get them to the point where they don't need nitrogen anymore. That's a hard stretch for them. These guys have been doing this for, you know, basically hundreds of years, putting nitrogen in the ground. And so they won't get completely away from it. But we've seen at least a 75% drop in nitrogen use, and yields are going up. Crops are beginning to get stronger with this fertilizer and that type of deal. And it's completely organic. So there's not, you know, there's no harmful stuff in it. And it's also cheaper than
boy, that's
stuff.
Interesting. That's really interesting. You know, you mentioned citrus and pecan. I know citrus is a tough crop. That's a tough
citrus
crop.
Citrus is tough.
Yeah. And I don't know much about pecans, but I do know there are some crops out there that are really a lot more difficult than people understand. I know the bananas are facing extinction almost every year, it seems like. I read some sort of article. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Just, I mean,
it is,
people
it
have
is
no
wild.
Idea how delicate that ecosystem of the food supply chain is.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. I think if people realized the struggles that these farmers are having as far as keeping their crops going, you know, I don't think, you know, we had the big, you know, ice apocalypse or whatever you want to call it last year. I don't think people realized exactly how bad that was from an agricultural standpoint. There's a huge citrus growing community in South Texas, and I mean, they lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of trees and set them back in time and stuff. And you just don't put a tree in the ground and it start growing fruit or, you know, citrus or whatever you want to call it, or you put a, you know, a product in the ground and it produces at bumper crop yields every year. So
what's it take, about 5 years to get a fruit tree to actually yield decent?
I would imagine. I don't know exactly how long that is.
I know they bear fruit after 2-3 years, but sometimes they'll go a year and just not have anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
Until they get in the flow of things. And it's, you got to think a little bit ahead if you're going to get into any sort of tree business when it comes to trying to harvest the yields that come out of different types of trees. And, it's a different deal out there. And it's interesting that you are going in the fertilizer route. Obviously, this is an oil and gas interview. And the reason I wanted to talk a little bit about the fertilizer is a lot of the interviews we've been having these days, part of it is the transitional, non-traditional revenue generator that the businesses are coming up with. You're fortunate enough to kind of stay within your product line, but expand your customer base. I know people, I was just talking to a guy the other day who's got such a successful t-shirt and hat business. He's in an energy service business, but he started a t-shirt and hat business, and he started with his clients, and that grew, and he just hired his first employee manager because his kid and his wife are going to help out too. And so that's what's going on, and I think that's kind of the unspoken story right now in oil and gas is how business owners and managers and companies are really coming up with non-traditional revenue ideas to get through this. I don't even know. They're not calling it a downturn. They're calling it a transition. So it sounds like everybody needs to be all of the above type of a company. You know what I mean?
And you have to think outside the box, Jason. You really do. I mean, you know, you can't per se put all your eggs in one basket. That's one of the things that we've done is we started looking at how can we expand the business into something else. We have, you know, one of our chemicals helps treat for water, for TDS, and just, you know, general water, helps, you know, take out some of the odor in these house wells and stuff. And so we started treating house wells. We started treating wells at dairy farms and stuff like that. And so it got us. We're still pushing chemical, but we started thinking how do we do other things as well. We've treated these stock ponds. These guys have these big huge stock ponds with these big huge fish in it, and they've had it around for years. Well, the fresh water is getting more salty and stuff, and so we have a chemical that won't harm the fish, but yet will keep the salt level down and allow those freshwater fish to stay in, you know, a little bit salty water, but not completely salty water. And so we started pushing chemical to those guys as well.
Well, I tell you, from everything I've been reading, and I read a lot of stuff that people do not read. I read a lot of studies. I read a lot of not summaries of studies. I'm talking about the actual studies. And one I've been reading is on saltwater, and specifically down in Texas. And from what I've been reading, you know, with the way this ESG economy and the ESG movement is going, it sounds like emission management and flaring is going to be in the crossfires or subsidized or, you know, under awareness in 2022. Saltwater and some of the disposals and these chemicals and just everything that goes into the whole recycling of saltwater, that's 2023 if I'm putting my prediction hat on. It might even be sooner, but as far as like the all-in awareness campaign, you know, medicine did it for a long time. This year it's going to be pancreatic cancer. Next year it's diabetes. And then it's, you know what I mean? A lot of industries go like that. And this environmental ESG movement seems to be doing that too. And, you know, trees and meatless Mondays and that sort of thing has been the appetizer, if you will. Now we're going to get serious. Flaring is already, you know, you can hear the Texas Railroad Commissioners. They don't do an interview without addressing flaring.
That's right.
So let's talk a little bit about the ESG movement that is coming. You know, you've said the word chemical a few times, and that, you know, that can go one of two ways. One, it can help you in the ESG movement, and two, people can say that can hurt you too. So talk to me about, you know, what you guys are doing in this ESG movement or how you're navigating it and et cetera.
Well, so for us, you know, we've started looking for more environmentally friendly products. We have one chemical line that is completely, you know, organic. And most people now there's a whole lot of people still the old school oil and gas guys that when they ask you, do you have a green chemical? And if you say yes to them, well, they run the other direction because they came up, you know, if the chemical is not bad and not going to do, you know, it's not basically a badass, then they don't want it. But you are seeing a lot of these companies saying, I want something environmentally friendly, I want something green. And so we've gone out and started making a strong push to play the ESG game. I think the ESG game is going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And so that's one of the areas that we also have started looking at as well.
You mentioned that they're starting to look more towards that ESG. A lot of it is, of course, regulation based and that sort of thing. But before, they were becoming a little bit more open to some of these new products. I know that this on-site chemical treatment and these other types of water treatments, boy, the innovations have really come a long way in the last, you know, 10 years specifically. And just
really
like
have.
Most things, you know, even sealants, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday in the steel business and the sealants that go on screws in the saltwater frac tanks and disposal tanks and things like that have made miles and miles of improvements over the last 10 years. So talk to me a little bit about that innovation. And actually for you, I suppose it's organic innovation, huh?
It's organic innovation. Yeah, you can get, you know, you can get things that work just as well that are a whole lot safer for not only the environment, but for people in general. You know, when you start talking, you know, you can even take it down to pretty simple terms, and you can start talking about hydrochloric acid. You know, you can now get multiple products of a safe acid. And it's, you know, really and truly, I mean, you can actually stick your finger in an acid-based product. Most people still kind of have, you know, are pretty hesitant about it. But, I mean, you can literally pour a safe acid into a jar and then take your bare finger and put it in there and nothing will happen to your finger. And so not only are we protecting the environment, but we're protecting, you know, people in general. We're protecting our equipment. Everything is getting better and safer. I mean, yes, to a certain extent, there is a difference between a safe acid and a true hydrochloric acid, but you can get the same results. And usually, yes, you're going to spend maybe a little bit more money, but everything else gets protected.
What are you guys looking to do next year, 2022, as we're concluding this year? How are you looking into next year?
We're looking good. We actually have quite a few, you know, people, you know, new customers asking for bids, and people, as you said, looking for new innovative technology, ways to do things differently, new products, more and more people willing to accept a, you know, a different kind of product, per se. So lots of talk around, the next year. Oil and gas seems to be thinking that, you know, 2022 will be, a better year, more possibly a little bit more, you know, stable as far as that goes. Of course, a little bit depends on what this administration is going to do. And then we're also seeing good results around our fertilizer line and then our water treatment line as well. More and more people, deciding that maybe I should spend a little bit, you know, time on that and concentrate on that. So we're actually excited for 2022.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to give you some business?
So we do have a website, cdxenergy.com, and then we have an 800 number, which is 1-833-239-3649. You can also call me, Chad Frizzell, at 806-543-2723.